So before I get started on today's show, I want to share with you guys a cool feature for you Spotify listeners. And I think it's very interactive, and I think it's something that is great for podcasts, considering when you go on to YouTube, like if you guys have watched YouTube videos before, that there's ways for the creator to interact with the watchers and the listeners in terms of polls and Q&As and all sorts of cool things. So Spotify has just added a very similar feature to that on its app, on its mobile app. So if you, and maybe you see this if you're listening to it on the episode, they just rolled it out and I was playing around with it a little bit. Right below, there's a Q&A box and there's an area also for me to upload polls and different things on there. But I think there's like a Q&A box attached to the episode itself where you can go down and you can ask direct questions about the show. And I think how it works, I haven't tried this yet. Obviously, this feature just rolled out. But if you guys leave your questions on the sh this show and future shows, we can start to see how it works. And I think it's really cool because when you leave questions, I can go back and I can answer them. And then it will automatically add the answers onto the end of the episode itself. So you can go back, you can leave questions, and then you can go back like a day later. And or a couple days later, and you'll see all the answers, questions about the show itself in the show itself. So this is actually just really neat because you can go back and even older episodes. Sometimes you might be listening to something older. You had questions about it. Now, whenever you go back and you check episodes, you can see questions and answers associated with the show itself, the specific episode. So try it out, guys. If you have questions, leave it on there. I know one of the things that people always like is submitting questions, and when I do Q&As and just answer general questions. So it's neat to be able to have it attached directly to the episode itself. So if you see it on there, you can leave a question, leave an answer. I think you can leave comments and stuff on there now too. So I think it just makes it very interactive. And I'll see how this works, and we'll see how I can implement this on future shows. So today, what I want to talk about is training and strength building in particular, and how just powerful I think starting off the first quarter now, I guess finishing, we're wrapping up the first quarter of 2023 pretty quickly. One of the things, again, I've talked about this on previous shows, but this year I've made a really concerted effort with clients to shorten the training, to shorten the training, but amplify the effectiveness of it. I know that I fall into this trap when I'm training, and we all do, especially like if you are a yoga practitioner and you're used to doing 90-minute classes, 75-minute classes, we're conditioned to believe that the longer we train, the better off it is, or the more we train, the more effective it's going to be. And that may be true for sheer strength building. That may be true in a couple of circumstances, but in the instance of building technical proficiency and skills, like press handstands, for example, I know lots of you guys listening are really into getting your press handstands, getting your other lifts, and mastering all of these types of things. More isn't always better, right? But that's what we're conditioned to believe. And it's one of the things that I've really honed in on. And I found that, especially, and I started going through this last year, is finding the most effective way to train clients, and even into the first quarter of this year, is making more focused, laser precise, shorter sequences that are down, like training for like 20 minutes or so, 20, 25 minutes. And when you're building strength, you don't have to do necessarily a whole lot, but even more importantly, like technical ability, right? Because I think the area where a lot of you struggle with is the technical side of press handstand. I think that there are a lot of you out there that have the strength and maybe even have the mobility, but putting all the pieces together and bridging the gap is the difficult part, which is, how do I take the strength? How do I take the mobility? How do I take all these things that I have built for myself and translate them into technical ability? And that's where sometimes more is not better, even though that's what we're conditioned to believe. Again, we're focusing on creating a movement pattern, right? We're creating a more complex movement patterns. And I talk about this on this podcast a lot, is training our brain to execute new patterns and creating new patterns like brushing your teeth or riding your bike. And if you think back to when you were riding your bike, there were times where you would go out and maybe just practice riding your bike for 5 minutes. And then you would go inside and stop and in little 5 minute increments, and you would learn to ride your bike. And press handstand is very similar in this way, which is under like the micro mechanics that have to go on, but doing things that train the movement pattern specifically is the skill set, really, where understanding that it doesn't take a whole lot of time, but it takes doing the right things. And I would consider a press handstand something that is, it's obviously a more complex movement pattern. It's not something simple. In fact, when you look at the way I like to break things down, or when you look at a movement like a press handstand that's more complex, you've got movement patterns within movement patterns. And that's really where the effect of training lies, is saying to yourself, how can I start to learn and implement the micro pattern, so to speak, the micro patterns that add up to the bigger overall pattern that you're trying to learn. And that's where, again, less is more, is learning the correct things and doing the right things, but just enough so that your brain gets the signal and realizes, okay, I'm trying to create this new pattern, and letting that kind of play itself out and giving a chance for your brain to understand what that pattern is, so that you can then implement it into your training eventually. So it becomes as automatic, I should say, as riding your bike or brushing your teeth or swinging a golf club or shooting a basketball, whatever that pattern is. That's ultimately the goal. And the way the brain creates patterns is, if you haven't heard me say this before, the way the brain creates patterns is, it doesn't distinguish between what is good and what is bad. What is good for our body and what is bad for our body. The only thing it's looking for is repetition, right? And the frequency of repetition. How often am I trying to do this? And the more often you do it, the more likely your brain is to say, let's turn that into a movement pattern and let's develop the muscle memory so that we can execute it more easily and quicker and with less effort, right? That's the way the brain works. And that fundamentally is one of the reasons why overtraining, or training sometimes more, is not better, because the downside of a press, and I know that if you love training, it's fun to just get lost for hours, or when you're trying to learn how to do a press handstand, you just want to try it like over and over and hope that your body gets it one day. But the downside of that is really the fact that when you're learning, and this is the irony of a press, is that the way most go about training is to just try it over and over again. But by trying it over and over again and not doing it, you're effectively teaching, you're training your body to do the opposite. You're training a different pattern, right? Again, your brain doesn't know what's good and what's bad. If you're trying to do a press handstand over and over again and you're not doing it, or say you're muscling it or you're moving into your shoulders, your body thinks that's what you're trying to do, and it makes you more efficient at doing that, right? And that's oftentimes where, when you move into that realm of fatigue and you start training longer, the risk of you developing faulty patterns becomes higher and higher, because now our muscles aren't fresh. We're pushing through that point of exhaustion, and now we're creating movement patterns that are born in exhaustion versus things that are calculated and executed when your body is fresh. And that's another thing. Now, you may build strength in that regard. And a lot of people, when they start training for presses, and this is even more important, I'll say, if you're going for the bigger lifts and the lifts from the ground, like if you want to do like a seated straddle lift from the floor, or if you want to do like an L-sit or a V-sit and lift yourself up to handstand, the patterning becomes even more important. It becomes even more crucial to make sure that you're developing those things correctly. And so one of the things that you have to realize in terms of this kind of training is that short, effective sessions like pattern, I guess sessions that fortify new patterns, are often shorter, right? 20 to 25 minutes. And when you do those kinds of things, that's what allows you to bridge that gap, especially if you have the strength, or especially if you have the mobility already, Like, how do I take those? How do I take the strength and mobility that I have and convert it into technical ability? And it's less, but it's more pointed training sessions specifically designed at creating that. So oftentimes, like I actually saw this with one of my clients just the other day. One of my newer clients is that he was stuck in a training plateau for a while. And it wasn't for lack of training. Like he was doing really long training sessions, but at a plateau, like hour and a half to 2 hour long training sessions. And you might think that's crazy listening if you're not in there, but sometimes when you love your practice and you get into it, you can just continue to train and train and train and train. Actually, the way we got through the plateau was like drastically cutting the training sessions down, like into a quarter of the time, essentially. So we're talking like in between that 20 to 30 minute mark and focusing more specifically on patterns. And as a result of that, he was able to break through that plateau that he'd been in for almost a year now and start to get his hips over his shoulders where he wanted to be so that he could actually lift himself up. Now, when you've got like a really solid foundation, again, like less is more in so much of the time. And it's what allows the brain to put those pieces together. But that's, again, where you might be going wrong specifically in training, or you might be going wrong specifically with your approach, is that you're just spending too much time training. It's like, number one, you're spending too much time training. And number two, you could actually just be training the wrong things, which again is fine for strength building. You may build strength in that way, but at some point it's, you know, sharpening an arrow. It's like once the arrow is sharp enough, eventually you have to shoot the bow. There's a balance between the two, but most are more skewed towards fundamentally the strength building side. And if you have that, then it becomes, if you have that already, short pointed training sessions focused on whatever specific pattern you're meant to build become more and more important. And if you don't know what those are, again, that's really what takes time. That's really where it takes the time to figure that out and to understand what's going on and what's actually working behind the scenes. That's what we work with our clients with, is to help them ID those pieces, or like the anatomical pieces of the puzzle in the body that aren't working, are the things that need the, we use what's called the red, yellow, green model. And we have a sheet that for our clients with all the different body parts and all the different ways they're used. And we go through and we score them essentially like red, yellow, green, which is green is good. Yellow needs some work. Red needs a lot of work. And the red areas are where you are going to get the most improvement quickest. And the red areas, the number one priority with training is to get the red areas green, right? Turn them green, or turn them yellow first and then turn the yellows into greens. And then you can go on and you can start to work on all those things. And then once you've got a full green, you've got a full kind of green dashboard, so to speak, you know that you're good to go in that way. So I want to shift gears though, and I do want to talk about something specific from a couple shows ago, which is I brought something up about the body and how understanding the importance of what's going on in the body and truly where what you need work and how important that is. And there's something sometimes where you will see the body work in one way and you may think it's one thing, but it's actually the opposite. So if you are someone, I want to actually talk about this because I know a lot of you are in this situation, the hamstrings, right? The hamstrings are a big one. So when you're lifting, a lot of the time you might think I'm lifting up and it's really hard for me. You might think to yourself, it's hamstring mobility that is difficult, or it's hamstring mobility that's difficult to build, or so that I can get my hips over my shoulders. Or sometimes if you're like jumping forward, say from downward dog, you're floating forward. Or you are, it's another good example, just like a press, right? You may like shift, and when lifting up, you feel like the second you lift up, your knees are wanting to bend. And I know I see a lot of people in that situation, and they think a lot that it's the hamstrings, right? There's something going on in the hamstrings that are creating that issue, and that the hamstrings need to open up because the knees are wanting to bend. It's actually not that. And in a lot of cases, it's really not even the hamstrings. Like the hamstrings are the obvious one, but where most forget is it's in the hip flexors, right? And the hip flexors create something in the body. So the role of the hip flexors, like mind you, like in yoga poses where you are extending the back leg in lunges and warrior poses and whatnot, there's a lot of extension that goes on in yoga, meaning we're stretching the hip flexors a lot, right? But we want the opposite where we flex the hip. I'm coming back here, my recording software somehow stopped on accident, or I pressed something to make it stop. But we flex where we work on flexing the hip. And so, like for humans, when we're walking, the whole goal of the hip flexors is to support the legs, right? So if you're just doing something basic like walking, you don't really need very much strength in the hip flexors. But the second your legs leave the ground, like in a press, when you're lifting up, if you don't have this enough strength in the hip flexors to support the leg, to hold your legs when they're in space, it doesn't matter how strong you are in other areas of the body, your legs are automatically going to bend. You're not going to be able to press. And then what happens is your knees bend because your hip flexors aren't strong enough to hold the legs in place, right, when you lift. So the knees bend, and what that feels like to you, it might think, ooh, my hamstrings are tight. I can't keep my legs straight when I'm pressing. But the reality of it is it actually takes more hip flexor strength to be able to hold the legs when you lift. And that's an area where a lot of people tend to overlook, like training the, it's also called compression, hip compression, training with the ability to compress the hips and get the thighs like in an L-sit or a V-sit, especially getting the thighs as close to the torso as you can. That's a talk. Hip compression, going in detail on hip compression is a completely talk for a different show. I'm getting ready to wrap this one up here. But to think about it in terms of, I do need to build some type of hip flexor strength. The goal, I guess, today is just to make you aware of that and say, if you don't have that type of strength, it's very hard for you to execute the mechanics correctly of the press. And then understanding, once I do have that strength to hold my legs in space, now if I have strength in other areas, it's going to be a lot easier for my body to start to press. So that's a great example of where it's really important to truly understand what's going on. The body may manifest, it may feel like, again, like when we're trying to troubleshoot weaknesses in our body, a lot of people take it as they confuse the problem with the symptom, meaning that the problem, it may be a problem that your knees are bending, and it might be easy to say, well, it's the hamstrings right away. But actually what we perceive to be the problem is just the symptom of a greater problem, which is truly the hip flexors aren't yet strong enough to hold the legs, which is a vital part for a press handstand. And there's a lot of instances like that in the body. When you look at arms and you look at arm stability, it's really easy to think you need more arm strength, but it's really not that. It's really easy to think like you need more core strength, but it's also really not that. There's just a bunch of different pieces that go on in there. And then once you understand those pieces, again, drills and exercises to address those kinds of things is really how you make the progress going forward. That's what I've got for you on today's show. Again, if you have questions and you're listening on Spotify, or even if you're listening on Apple, go ahead and if you want to try this, I think it's really cool. And I hope actually Apple does roll out a feature like this in the future. But if you get onto Spotify and you have questions about the show specifically, you can leave them directly below. And I think there's a little box that pops up that says Q&A. You can take some time to leave questions on the show. I'll get back and I'll answer them here, which I think is really great because then everyone can hear them versus if you shoot me an email or you send me a message on Instagram. And those are great, but then not everybody gets to see the answers to the questions. Like, this type of feature really builds a community around the show and helps people ask questions and interact. And if you have the question, I know for a fact that there are hundreds of other people, thousands of other people for that matter, listening that may have the same question or variations of the question. So it really helps them out when you take the time to do it. So play with the feature. I'll get back and I'll answer some questions. I'll see how it works. And again, as always, if you're enjoying the show, please do take some time to leave a review and share it. Share it with someone else. Share it with someone who is a yoga practitioner, yoga teacher, someone who is working, someone who's into their press handstand or really working on getting that this show I do completely for free. So the way that you can support the show is to share it with people who you think could really benefit from that. And if you are interested in working with us, Body Breakthrough, and going through this process, all those links are in the show notes. All the links to my social media are in the show notes. You can go down and you can click the links, check them out there, and we can go from there. All right, so that's all I've got for you on today's show. Have a good rest of your day, and I'll talk to you soon.